This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy this next bit of brilliance with Joel and Jeremy. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
What do you think Bregman's market is? Just AAV, take out the years. What is his market on an average annual basis?
What are people going to be offering him?
Yeah, what do you think? Like a free agency, his most per year?
27.
You think he's up to 27?
Someone's going to throw on the open market. To get him, they're going to throw a little bit more.
I would be stunned if he gets 27 a year. I don't think he's much more than a $25 million guy. King of Twitch saying that his market's like right up there where you're saying. The only player, like there's four players that make over 25 that play third base. Arenado's better.
Yep.
Machado's better. Devers is better. Anthony Rendon's not, but Anthony Rendon got over on the Angels. Like he got over on the Angels, and no one's going to pay Alex Bregman $35 million. There's players underneath Bregman at 25 that are better than Bregman, too. Austin Riley's better. Jose Ramirez is better. Riley's making 21. Ramirez is making 20. I can't pay Bregman more than 25 a year. I can't. Like, 25, I still feel a little icky doing
it. I honestly think that the fair deal for the Astros is more like 21, 22, 23. But I think that someone on the open market's going to throw a little bit more to get him and throw 27 at least in the first couple of years.
Yeah. And what he gets paid on the open market versus what you sign him at are two different stories. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pay him over 25. And I still have trouble thinking he gets 27. I'm very curious to see what Matt Chapman gets. And Bregman's a better offensive player than Matt Chapman. Like, don't get that
Chapman's
twist.
Got more pop, though.
I don't know, man.
First blush to me, Chapman has more pop than Bregman.
It depends on
depending on where they play too, right? I mean Breggy's got a pretty friendly hitting.
So was Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto's a nice hitter's park too. Chapman got off to that hot start last year, but he finished with 17 homers. Now he had 27 the 2 years before that. Bregman had 25 and 23 the last 2 years. So maybe equal?
Yeah.
Equal-ish pop? Yeah. Now you look at like OPS, Bregman's above 800, where Chapman's in the 750s. But that's because Chapman doesn't walk like Bregman does.
Chapman's also a better defensive player.
I would say so, but Bregman's not bad. Like, Bregman's good.
Not any Chapman's kind of great. Disrespect to Alex Bregman. Chapman is elite at third base.
I would say Chapman's the... he and Arenado.
Arenado, yep.
I would say Chapman's top two. Bregman's like top 5 to 7 defensively. Now, Bregman's the better offensive player. But again, I think they get very similar contracts. Chapman's currently in free agency, 1 year younger than Alex Bregman.
I don't think Chapman gets... I think Chapman's going to be a bargain for somebody. Not even maybe a bargain, but he's going to be a lot less than that. I think that because of where we are getting ready to start spring training pretty soon, I think Chapman's going to be settling in more on a short-term deal, probably in and around 20?
See, I just don't know how Bregman's $5 million more than.
Yeah, but I think timing is everything, right? I think everything's depending from a Bregman perspective on this season. Like, if he comes out and gets back to that laser-focused eye at the plate and can start hitting for average again consistently instead of up and down, I think he's going to prove it deal get somebody to bite. But if he does what he did last year, there's no way he's worth $5 million more than Chapman.
I still think Chapman's got a big contract coming.
Like, how long?
How old is he?
30? See, I think he's going to get like 2 or 3 years at like 21, 22.
Why so short?
Because I just think that people see him for what he is and go, I don't know if he's going to get any better, and I don't know if he's going to continue to do that. And as he gets older, his defense is going to come down a little bit.
You got to say the same thing about Bregman, though.
Sure.
Bregman will be a year older. So,
I mean, how different are these guys than Machado?
Oh, God. Machado simply, I mean, first of all, just at third base, laser for an arm.
Yeah, he's a wizard. But I think you would say the same thing about Machado, is that at some point, like, it's going to slow down. He's not an 11-year contract.
He's not worth that 11-year
deal. He'll be 40 when it ends.
I couldn't even believe it.
That was a stupid, stupid deal.
You know what's crazy about that deal, too? Like, I thought this was the case. He signed that contract on February 28th last year. So, like, as this day last year, he was not under contract. Like, his free agency lasted way longer.
Well, no,
he was an extension. I'm thinking back to when he was a free agent. Him and Harper, they both didn't sign until January and February when they both signed.
But he was not free this last time they extended it.
I still think that, like, he's going to get a close to $30 million contract. I think it's going to be 5 or 6 years.
I don't think
it's
going to be 30.
Chapman?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that high.
What do you think the difference, or is there a difference, between Chapman this year and Bregman next year?
I don't think there will be much.
I think it's going to be very similar.
Honestly, though, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Alex Bregman goes full last year contract and almost wins an MVP.
It would stun me if that happened.
Just like the way, like, it just seems like he is one of those guys, like, we all talk about contract year guys. He seems one that's really wired.
How would we know this? Alex Bregman always seems wired. And no, Alex Bregman has never faced a contract year. Like, where are you getting this from?
Just opinion.
You mean total guess.
Yeah, it is.
I could see you saying, like, the moment's never too big for him. Like, he seems to step up in big moments type of guy.
Yeah.
It's different when you got to do it for a whole year, but I could see that.
It just feels like he's one of those guys. That, like, it's just gut feeling. He's one of those guys that has a big year and a contract year.
How much of 18 and 19 do you think come into play on the opinion of Bregman's value?
It should.
Why?
Because, like, it was so, I mean, like, it was still so high. Like, you're still hoping you can get back to that.
Yeah.
But aren't you paying him on what he's still got left in the tank?
I don't think all teams operate that way.
He's had nearly 2,000 plate appearances since those years.
I know.
And in those 2,000 plate appearances since those years, he's got an 804 OPS. Good player. With the defense, good player. Is an 804 OPS with good defense at third base worth $25 million a year? Not me. I'm not paying him more than Altuve, man. I'm not paying him more than Jose Altuve. If he wants to sign a deal equal to Altuve, done.
Age difference between the two of them?
3 years? 4 years. 4 years.
Yeah. I'm right there that I think that if you give him the exact deal without the qualifications of when you pay him what, and just give him the total value of that deal, I'm fine with that with the Astros. I don't think I'd go over that.
And I think that I don't feel great doing 25. But hey, here you go. 25, keep the band together. Cool. No more than 5, no more than 25 per year. Escalators, I don't really care.
The thing that helps him, it looks rough, like just roughly guessing, he looks like he's probably the third best player, maybe the second best position player in free agency because of age. Like Juan Soto, obviously going to get a monster contract. Mm-hmm. Goldschmidt is way too old. He'll be 30, 37, 38.
He'll get like a big 2-year deal.
Yeah. And then Bregman. Like everyone, like there's not really that big name offensive player. There's a lot of good pitching next year.
Yeah.
But, like, there's not the offensive players.
Well, I mean, where's Chapman? Where is Chapman from an offense positional player standpoint? He was probably top three because you had Shohei, you had Bellinger. Who else would be ahead of Chapman?
No, you're probably right.
Like, I don't think that there's a whole lot of difference there. Like, Bellinger's outside of Shohei. Bellinger's the second best offensive player on the market. He still doesn't have a team.
Yeah, he's still sitting there.
He still doesn't have a team.
Well, I'm trying to think if we missed somebody. Someone else that signed early.
I don't think we did. Not from like a top three, top five offensive guy. Yeah. This guy, in all capital letters, Crane needs to pay the man in bad word. A244 is Bregman sits now. He ain't worth $20 million per year. Find someone younger and hungrier. See, that's going to be the hard part is replacing him. Like, I don't think there's somebody ready to replace Bregman in the Astro system. Like, some people point to Will Wagner. I'm not there on Will Wagner. So now you're probably looking at a bridge third baseman. So that should factor into your decision, too. How much is a bridge third baseman going to cost you?
They
and how much
third
value
last
are you
year?
Losing? They drafted a shortstop in Bryce Matthews. Well, I don't know. There's 20 rounds. They probably did draft the third baseman.
Yeah, but I think it's Bryce Matthews, and I think he's obviously several years away.
Yeah, so. I mean, I never think of prospects being ready until like they're at AA, like at the minimum. Right. And who knows if they're ever going to pan out. And they're saying that he might even turn into an outfielder. Dana Brown says he want to keep him on the dirt, but he might turn into an outfielder. 8244, he's married with a kid. No more red, bad word, Bregman attitude left. I don't know. This one says give him the 7-year, $175 million deal. Same value, gives him the years. Also finishes at 38 years of age, just like Altuve. I want no business of paying a guy until they're 38. The only reason I'm doing it for Altuve is because he's Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay giving older guys 2-year deals, stuff like that. I'm not paying a guy going into his 30s a 7-year deal at 25 per.
Yeah.
When I'm uncomfortable with 25 per.
When I said with the deal, I'm not giving him more than that. I'm not giving him more than 5, and I'm not giving him more than Altuve got.
Yeah. Rockets trade deadline yesterday, they did nothing, so the Rockets traded for Steven Adams. That was their deadline. What do you think that their deadline philosophy, or at least in what they accomplished, what do you think it shows you what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, I think that at least for the short term that the management side of this won out. I think that Udoka was hell-bent on trying to improve the team for this year, and whether they kind of met in the middle and said, look, I got you your backup big for next season and going forward with a guy like Adams. But other than that, we weren't looking to add. We were only considering looking to subtract older guys that didn't fit the long-term plan, and that they're going to stand pat with the young roster that they have, build and develop them, give them – hopefully that means also translating to more run and more minutes on a nightly basis for Amen and Cam and the guys that need it, and less for the veterans that are just hanging around. But I was totally fine with them not doing anything, because the one thing that I was really literally concerned about was they are going to try and put the cart in front of the horse for Odoka, and they're going to add a veteran or two that I just didn't see them needing.
Yeah. I'm glad that they didn't do anything, because it shows they're not doing anything rash. I don't think they're ready for like these win-now moves. I think that they're loading up for Bear for the offseason and trying to get something done. Like, if they're going to ever trade for a star, I think it's this offseason, and I think that's part of the reason they didn't trade Tate for those like multiple second-round picks, is because he has an affordable contract that has opt-outs that you can include in a trade with some of these other big salaries. And like even Steven Adams, I think that's why they flipped Oladipo for Adams. Like, it's Adams, if you don't trade him, cool. He's your backup center and a good one at that. But he also has a salary that you could throw into a trade that's an expiring that inflates the amount of money you can bring back. So I think that the Rockets are loading up to potentially make a big move if a star becomes available either in the offseason or next trade deadline, which I think is smart. I think it's always good to have a little powder dry. I think it's always good to have that. And I think that's what Rafael Stone is doing. Secondly, they're not doing anything rash in trading a high potential youngster for a solid veteran. So I was cool with it. I was happy with it.
I think the other thing to take into mind is the fact that as much as Udoka wanted to seemingly win this year, no trade that they made, in my opinion, because there was no one available that could move the needle that far, was going to do anything to push you that much further into the playoff picture and do a lot of damage. I think that they are sitting in a spot right now, whether they made a trade or not, where they'll be flirting with the play-in tournament. And other than that, I don't think it gets any better, no matter what move you would try to make. And that could actually set you back for what it could mean with the ramifications for the long term of this young core. And that's why I'm glad they didn't do it.
Yeah, good patience, I think we're shown here. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Mock draft season. How are we making the Texans better as we make mock drafts great again? Today's is a doozy, the strangest mock you've seen all season. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. Killer Bees are also known as Africanized Bees. And we all know there's nothing Africanized about these two guys. It's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
3%. I know that because I did one of those, DNA ancestry things. I was talking to somebody last night. He's like, you got to be careful with those ancestry tests because you can figure out that maybe you're not related to your relatives.
Mm.
I was like, that's a good point. I didn't think about that when I did this. Fortunately, I was related to my relatives. Mock draft season, making mock drafts great again. How are we making the Texans better? Cynthia Freeland, friend of the show. She's NFL Network analytics expert. I sounded like David Kelly there. So her mock draft is based on analytics. She says she takes the best available, information, blah, 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 blah. She does it differently from the traditional method in that the team prospect pairings are based on optimizing wins in the upcoming season. So she's looking at the team that they currently have constructed, which player in the draft pool could give them the most wins next season. There's a couple of other elements, like what the free agency class looks like, blah, 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 blah. But it's analytic driven. This isn't like Caleb Williams. He's the popular pick, the betting favorite. He's number one. This is based on the analytics of what gives them the most wins next season. So with that in mind, it is a very odd mock draft. And with the number one pick, Joe George's Chicago Bears, Joe might make this pick if he were the general manager of the Chicago Bears. They select Joe Ctrl-Alt-Delete from Notre Dame offensive tackle to protect Justin Fields.
Yeah,
You're high on Alt.
I do love Joe Alt. Frankly, I really like the Bears tackles, so I think this pick sucks.
Oh.
I think their tackles
are... Analytics doesn't like it.
Do you think he would have been available with their second first-round pick?
No, I do not believe he will be.
Okay.
There'll be other tackles that are good, but not as good as
Titans pick? They pick seventh.
Yeah.
He doesn't make it past
Titans.
Well,
they're taking Brock Bowers.
The Titans?
That's what Brock Bowers said.
That's what he wants.
I put Brock Bowers on Bad Take Boulevard yesterday because he straight up told Mike Florio he wants to be a Tennessee Titan.
Did he say why?
Nope.
He must really like. He must like Will Levis.
Close to home.
He must like Levis.
He said close to home, I guess.
Huh.
You want to catch passes from Will Levis?
Where's Bad he take? From? Yeah, I don't know where his hometown is.
Will Levis, second best rookie quarterback this past year.
Low bar.
It was a low bar. You're right.
Short bar.
It was a very, very low bar. But not many people thought he'd be the second best rookie quarterback.
It's
you
true.
Know who thought he would be at the top two? Just saying. Everybody says I'm wrong on that. I was the only one saying he'd be top two. He was top two.
Did you say top two or top one?
I didn't say, from a rookie perspective, I didn't say he was, I say he had some stuff to figure out. I say he was my favorite draft prospect. I didn't say he had the best rookie year. So, kind of nitpicky, but whatever. But I was right. Top two. Anyway, so Joe Alt goes number one to Chicago. Number two, this is where Caleb Williams comes off the board, Washington Commanders. I haven't listened to it yet. Who was the dude that was all over Stroud? Used to be on ESPN, the draft analyst.
Merrill Hodge. Okay.
He was all over Stroud. He does not like Caleb Williams.
I don't think that's fair. I think that
did you watch the video?
Yeah, NBC Chicago put it out. I like they said harsh criticism of him.
Yeah.
Of Caleb Williams. He said he's not special. He said he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
But Merrill Hodge is the guy who said Manziel sucks.
Yeah, Merrill Hodge just nailed him.
But he also said Trubisky would be good.
I mean, he went to a Pro Bowl. Trubisky did.
You're right.
So anyways, Caleb Williams.
So did Huntley.
I love that. Like, I love your Pro Bowl stance. And then when Trubisky comes away, went to a Pro Bowl.
I mean, I'm trolling. I'm not being serious. Caleb Williams, number two to Washington in this analytical draft. Drake May goes number three to New England. So it's not too awful. Just step for number one. Marvin Harrison Jr., number four to Arizona. Not too
We've
awful.
Seen that.
Tarian Arnold, number 5-2 to the Chargers. I like Arnold. This is as high as I've seen Arnold go. But analytics wins next year. Rome Odunze goes to the Giants at number 6. Not terrible. Olumuwol Fashuna, the tackle from Penn State, goes to the Titans. They're desperate for offensive line help. Jaden Daniels goes number 8 to Atlanta. Malik Nabers, number 9 to Chicago. So that's not, I mean, they give Fields some help. They give him some protection. They give him Nabers. And the number 10 is Talese Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. That's the top 10. Other quarterbacks before the Texans. Bo Nix goes 13 to the Raiders. That would be interesting. Brock Bowers, 15th to the Colts. I hope we don't want him to go there. And that's the only other quarterback before the Texans are on the board. So the Texans are on the board. Remember, this is analytics based on win shares. Win shares for next year. She has the Texans selecting Kenyon Mitchell from Toledo. This is the corner that's making all sorts of waves, had a great Senior Bowl. Everybody likes him. If this is indeed the pick for the Texans on draft night, you're okay with Mitchell out of Toledo.
I love it. I love it because of the fact that, like we've discussed previously, over only maybe on a higher level, because I want to say when we've talked about this before, both of you guys didn't think there was any way he was going to fall this far. But if he falls this far, if he falls into their lap and everybody's talking about him and he's the other bookend corner next to Stingley, and then you don't need Stevie Nelson and we don't have to worry about whether he signs or not. If you get him and you put Stingley on the other side, I think you're a better defensive football team. I would love this.
Yeah, I would be over the moon if this is the selection, because now you have two really good corners. You have two really good corners that only helps things for D'Amico's defense, helps for your defensive line, you know, more time probably to get to the quarterback. So I'd be cool on Mitchell. You cool on Mitchell, Joe George?
Yeah, I think this would be a great pick. Like, it just seems like all the reports from the Senior Bowl is that he is a stud player. So, I mean, it does feel so untraditional to Nick Caserio from what we know.
What
where
do you
he's
mean?
He's so SEC heavy.
Oh, big school.
I got you.
And to go Toledo when there are other SEC corners and Big Ten corners on the board at this moment, it does feel like a little outside the box for him or just untraditional to what he does, but yeah. I would like it.
What is his highest non-Power 5? It'd probably be Tank.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would bet. I don't guarantee you that.
Penn State.
I mean, Power 6, but
Florida.
No, you don't have to say that anymore.
That's Baylor right, for Petrie. Nico, yeah, Michigan.
Yeah,
it would probably be, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be the, I mean, P6, Power 6, but non-Power 2 for Nick Caserio. The next three picks.
Oh, Stanford?
Do the exercise. I mean, they're Power 5.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying Mills.
Yeah. I mean, it's Power 5. I mean, it's Pac-12 football. Rest in peace. Troy Fortuno to the Cowboys is the pick after this. The tackle guard, maybe guard. Nate Wiggins, a corner after that. And then he's from Clemson. And then Enos Rakestraw Jr., the corner from Missouri. So we don't have tons of options here. We have three corners and an offensive lineman to choose from. You have the pick between Mitchell, Fortuna, Wiggins, and Rakestraw Jr. Which of the four are you picking?
I'll stick with who they're picking, because I think that if he's available there and with everybody talking about him and his ability to do multiple things, like from his hip turn to his stop start, and he has a speed. And like you said, you put him next to a guy like Stingley, any one of the three, I think is a great addition to this team. But if you get a guy that most people are he's opening a lot of eyes, I'll take him. I'll go with it.
I like that. And that was excellent. That was well done.
That goes back to a long time ago when Barry once talked about a defensive back's hip turn, and no one thought he knew about hip turn, and he got annihilated.
You got to have some hip turn. I like this pick, too. I'm sticking with this pick. Lance, if we go based on his NFL.com draft prospect grades, he has Mitchell at a 6'4", 2". He has Wiggins at a 6'7", 3", and he has Rakestraw at a 6'3", 6". I'm not eliminating offensive linemen, but I prioritize corner over offensive linemen. I wouldn't be mad at an offensive lineman, but I'm picking, if I'm making the pick, I'm going corner before offensive lineman. Wiggins is super intriguing to me, too. Lance grades Wiggins higher than he grades Mitchell, but I'm going to stick to Mitchell here. Stick to the guns with blankers.
Yeah, same. We'll go 3 for 3. I'm sticking with Mitchell as well. By the way,
he's going to suck now that we all like.
Isn't Wiggins a guy that they said is going to take a little bit for him to become a legit starter?
Not whereas, Lance has him as a day one starter.
Okay.
He has Mitchell as will become a good starter within 2 years, and then he has Rakestraw as will eventually be plus starter.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only, like, if those evaluations are, like, let's say they're 100% spot on, do you feel like you need more immediate help at corner?
See, I think this is unfair with Mitchell, though. I think Mitchell's going to be ready to go day one. He might be a little raw, but I think he's his NFL comparison for Lance's NFL comparison for Mitchell is Steven Nelson.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, great.
I don't know if that's great.
Yeah, who are the other
solid
two guys?
Tyson Campbell for Wiggins, and then he has Roger McCreary for Rakestraw.
By the way, Tank Dell is the only non-Power 5 player.
Power 6, what are you talking about?
Don't say it anymore. The only non-Power 5 player drafted by Nick Caserio.
Okay.
Every single player is from a Power 5 school except for Tank.
He plays big Power 5, though.
He does now.
I mean, Big 12, Power 3. Power 3 now. I mean, they're in battle with the ACC. No doubt about that. So we're sticking with Mitchell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Mitchell. Now, I am worried, though, that we just went College Game Day, all picked the right team or the one team that they're going to end up losing. You know how that always happens on Game Day? Where across the graphic, everybody picks Team A, and then Team A loses to Team B. I think we just did that.
You mean like how we all picked the Chiefs about an hour ago?
Yeah, we also did with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've been good on BZ Money, though, so something's got to go right. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who would you pick of those four between Mitchell, Fortuna, Wiggins, and Rakestraw? 713-780-3776. When we come back, it's everybody's favorite game. It's Who Said It? Joe George reads things that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities. The Killer Bees guess who said it. We look for two straight weeks in the winner's column. We return Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
It's now time for the mega producer Joe George to do what he does best, and that's stumping. No one can stump the best stumper in Stumpville, and that's Stumpy Joe.
Stumpy Joe.
What happened to Stumpy Joe?
The official explanation was he choked on vomit.
Today, Stumpy Joe will try to stump the Killer Bees with Who Said It? Let the stumping begin. Let's get stumped.
Joe won every Who Said It, and, well, a combination of you and Brian McDonald won every Who Said It in January. Blankers and I, though, have won every Who Said It in February. We look to continue that today with today's game of Who Said It. You can play at home. You can text in. We're not going to pay attention to the text, Twitch. We turn that off. We're not cheaters like the Yankees. 713-780-3776. All right, here we go. Here we go, Joe. Quote number one. What are we working with today?
All right, number one. I've been telling you, people have been giving me olive oil baths in the bathroom of a Burger King.
What? This is so stupid.
People have been giving me? That's whoever said it, yes. Said that they were getting?
I've been telling you, people have been giving me olive oil baths in the bathroom of a Burger King.
I think we can eliminate two people from this.
We're not on Lance.
No, I could see Lance at a Burger King.
Okay.
I couldn't see Paul at a Burger King. I was going to eliminate Granada.
I think on a road trip I could see Paul doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Paul eats pretty well.
I think Paul would be intrigued by the olive oil.
Paul, whenever we were at the other station, he would make every single day, same thing every day. And I'm pretty sure I'm 100% right about this. It was like ground turkey, peas, and carrots.
He actually was that healthy an eater?
Oh, yeah.
I knew Andrew. I know Andrew is. I've seen that. No. I didn't know Paul was that healthy an eater.
Every day, same thing. Ground turkey, peas, and carrots. Now, I haven't seen him do it much here, but maybe it's just the time slot. That's why I would eliminate him. Can you say this again? This is a tough one.
I've been telling you. People have been giving me olive oil baths in the bathroom of a Burger King.
Now, Lance was on the road covering the Senior Bowl.
They were also in...
and they were in New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah. Well,
Lake Charles. Close they enough. Were at, yeah.
This is a hard one. I don't know if that really comes into play. I don't know if the travel matters. I think it's Lance, Michael, or Josh.
I mean, of the people, of those three, the only one that's been traveling lately is Lance.
Do you think travel matters, though? I had Burger King today.
I'm saying the people are quite, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a, right yeah, maybe it's just a local.
I didn't realize that I pulled into you at a Burger King cup right there.
Yeah, we need to get him on as a sponsor. I have no idea. This one's a tough one. I would, like, it. Catons matters here a lot. Like, if I can hear the Catons, I think I could determine it.
Well, yeah, if I... And again, so does like, is it a road trip or is it, I was just hitting Burger King up for lunch?
It sounds like multiple times you've been getting these baths of olive oil inside of Burger King.
All right. My gut is Lance.
All right. Let's try it.
Hey. I've been telling you, people have been giving me olive oil baths in the bathroom. Yeah.
What was he doing?
They were talking about how like Italian accents are the sexiest accents for women, and then Lance just spit that out of his mouth. There's no context. There's nothing about going to Burger King or traveling. There's just Lance just being Lance.
Sweet.
He snuffed it out.
Nice pull, Blankers.
All right, number two. Does he know what month it is? Who in his circle said, "Hey, Mac, let's do this. Let's dress you up in all purple and make fake lean."
So this was the Max video that he had to take down.
Oh, the month.
Oh, he took it down?
He had to take it down. I don't think he had to. He took it down within 24 hours of putting it up.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
All right, say this again.
Does he know what month it is? Who in his circle said, "Hey, Mac, let's do this. Let's dress you up in all purple and make fake lean"?
I mean, this could be anybody. This is super generic.
Yeah, I know a couple of shows brought it up because I think I was driving around and I heard some of it.
I could see Granado saying this. I could see Paul saying this. I could see Beard and I don't. Connor, I can't eliminate anybody.
No, this is pretty much they're all on the table for this one.
Yeah, they're all on the table here. I think all three shows would talk. I think everybody would talk about that.
Yep.
Now, let's look at it from like a sponsorship belt. Would Granado take a go at Mac? It's not really going
he knows
at Mac.
Him, it's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah.
Paul, Michael, Beard, I think, are our three.
I could see Paul. Paul's going to be running amok on every topic, and he always hits the most current what's happened. That came right out of the weekend, I think.
Paul's usually more contrarian, though. So I could see Paul, like, siding with Mac.
I think Paul liked it.
So I don't think he would have been, like, critical. Like, this quote reads to me a little critical.
Now, Connor comes from his previous life where they were in bed together.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, I don't know if that would like prevent him from saying it.
Maybe he would refrain from
I think he might be more prone to say it.
Okay.
Should you read it one more time, Joe? My favorite thing is just making Joe roll across the studio production. I don't even want to hear it again. I just want to see you roll.
Does he know what month it is? Who in his circle said, "Hey, Mac, let's do this. Let's dress you up in all purple and make fake lean"?
It kind of sounds like words that Granada would use, though.
Would he use the fake lean and know what it is?
Yeah, I think he would.
You do?
Yeah, they probably said it earlier in the segment.
All right. I don't have a feel for this one at all. If I was leaning anywhere, I think it was going to be
the thing that maybe turned Granada was the let's do it. You were going to say Connor?
I was going to say either Connor or Beard.
But we got the last one right. Go Connor or
no,
Beard.
No, no, no.
No, I don't want to. You got the last
one
right.
I don't have a feel for it.
Connor or Beard? Which of the two?
I'd be more Connor.
Okay, let's go Connor.
Yeah. Does he know what month it is?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. His circle.
That's teamwork.
Hey, Matt.
That's teamwork.
Let's do this. Let's dress you up.
That's teamwork.
In all purple. And make
the lean was what
I can't even pull the most generic quotes
so
of all
generic.
Time.
Why
so
do you need
generic.
To? You've been winning.
Well, he's 0 for February.
Yeah. All right, number three. I'm trying not to
Are you
laugh.
Sure?
I'm trying not to laugh at this one, okay? Like, okay. Toby Keith passed away from stomach cancer at the age of 62. That's a really young age. I didn't know he was 6'4". That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. That seems like a.
Is that Beardy?
I don't think so. I don't think Beard would be that insensitive.
No, and also Beard. Yeah.
I think this is a bench. I think this is probably.
This Johnny?
Probably.
Is this Johnny
like,
G?
This is. There's some insensitivity. That's a tough one to say.
Insensitivity?
Insensitivity here. And I think whenever I think of insensitivity at the station, I think of John Granato.
John or Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be Paul, but I think this is
the way Joe just started laughing too. It's got to be
as soon as I pulled it, I couldn't believe it.
Let's go, Granato.
Granato.
Oh, Joe
Keith passed away.
Oh, it's Paul.
At age 62. That's a really young age. I did not know he was 6'4". That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, Paul.
And I had it. I said the two insensitive people.
We should have gotten that one right. Yeah. Like, I think we kind of rushed right. there because like that was definitely that last segment of his show. What is it? Mop up time.
Garbage time.
Garbage time. That was definitely garbage time.
Oh, okay.
That was garbage time
close.
Material.
All right.
Still on the path.
Man.
Number four. I want to apologize to everyone for anything I said that might have offended you this week.
I like that apology. That sounded like a, what was that dude, Jeff Goodman apology.
Only
it sounded like a Jeff Goodman apology.
Then you'd have
apology.
To do the voice with a little bit of the lift.
Yeah, that's a Jeff Goodman apology there. Yeah, I'd like to apologize for those of you that I've offended. All right, so, okay,
Could
say this
Beard?
Again.
I want to apologize to everyone for anything I said that might have offended you this week.
Okay, somebody's got to do a little offending.
I think Beard's getting attacked on Twitch.
Was he?
I think he gets attacked on Twitch a lot.
But did he say anything that would offend people?
No, I can't see Beard crossing the line to offend people.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I think you had to have said something that you're apologizing for.
It's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This kind of seems like Michael Connor's humor. I think it's Connor or Granato.
Yeah, and I think that we used Connor already, right? I think, well,
no.
I don't know that John would be apologetic if he offended anybody.
Yeah, but it might, but that sounded super sarcastic.
I feel like this was Connor and Beard, but okay, go ahead.
Well, we can still talk through it. Can you say it again, Joe?
I want to apologize to everyone for anything I said that might have offended you this week.
You want to go Connor or Granato?
You call it.
You've had the hot hand.
No, I really have.
Well, you got the first two, and you were on Paul. You've had the hot hand.
See, so you don't think this would be Beard?
I really don't. Beard usually panders, I think, more to listeners. I think he tries to be like curry favor with them instead of attack them.
But I think when he sees it on Twitch, he gets ticked off.
Does he?
From time to time.
But I don't think he would apologize for the offense.
Right, but couldn't it have been sarcastic that way, too?
I don't know. Like, he doesn't really strike me as too sarcastic. I think this is more...
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I don't have a feel for this one.
I'm going to go... Can we go Granato?
Yeah.
Let's go John Granato. Yeah!
I want to apologize...
We win!
Yes!
That might have offended you this week.
Yeah. Was that this morning? What was context there?
It's from Tuesday.
Do we have any... He said it on Tuesday? He's apologizing Tuesday morning for the offensive things that he said all week?
I guess so.
And he said that on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
And was he on Twitter offending people?
No, it was actually like a story about someone having to apologize during their last segment of their show. And then then he did the fake apology after.
Well, that's funny.
All right. Last one. Just to try not to get a blowout. Mm-hmm. Pigs get slaughtered. Hogs get fed. Pigs get fed. Hogs get slaughtered. And Jose Altuve is like, when is enough enough?
What in the world?
I feel like this is Lance.
It does sound like a Lance one.
Yeah.
He hasn't used
Connor. And he'd also probably screw it up the way he said it.
I could see. Yeah, what in the world is he talking about?
I think this is Lance.
Right, let's go with it. Let's go with Lance.
Jose Altuve is like, you know what? Pigs get slaughtered. Hogs get fed. Hogs get fed, pigs get slaughtered.
Yeah. And then Lance to come in and correct him.
Pigs get slaughtered. Hogs get fed, pigs get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Somewhere Frank is already building another promo.
Where's the Altuve part of that?
Pigs get slaughtered. Hogs get fed, pigs get slaughtered.
Yeah, hogs get fed, pigs get slaughtered.
And Jose Altuve is like, you know what? This is enough.
What is he talking about?
He's taking a contract. A contract.
By the way,
what?
This adds more credence to he doesn't listen, but he hears things. Because he went off after Jeremy and I got into it on the teams that were able to sustain farm systems and winning and all these. And he goes, I heard Joel and Jeremy talking yesterday about the Astros windows closed. And they were going back and forth. I go, wait, what? Of all that we were talking about, you heard that?
Pigs get slaughtered. Hogs get fed. Pigs get fed.
I don't understand what he's trying to say.
He's saying that
Altuve's been getting fed. When is enough enough? What's wrong?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't.
What is Altuve fed up with?
No, he's saying that he doesn't want to get slaughtered, so he took a good team contract.
Okay. Makes a little more sense, I suppose. That was good. All right, Killer Bees win again. We're rolling in
pigs
February.
January is fed, a pig, distant pigs rear view
hogs
mirror.
Get fed, hogs pigs. Slaughter.
We just wanted Joe to feel good at the start of the month. All right, our Wheel of Bits coming up now. You never know what you're going to get with the Killer Bee Wheel of Bits, but you know that you got to listen. Stick tight. What do the Killer Bees have in store today? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, big weekend coming up, Super Bowl Sunday. You know you're probably going to have some people over to the house watching the game, no matter how the game turns out. If you want to be a winner in your household and with your guests, get some Daisy Dips. Daisy Dips available at your grocery store. You don't have to make them. You don't have to try and get that mix just right. French onion and ranch. Serve it with everything from your veggie platter, your chips of choice, and your wings and your pizza, too, if that's your thing. But the best thing is you don't have to do a darn thing except for go buy the two tubs of Daisy Dips, put them out there, take the lids off, and they are ready to roll with whatever you're ready to serve. And guess what? You're going to be a winner no matter how the game goes. Get to your grocery store right now and grab you a couple tubs of Daisy Dips.
It's the Killer Bees, and that means you have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? A Jill rant for the ages? An extra bad take from Joe? Or maybe Jeremy will call for a bounty gate on someone? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous fit.
Let's hear some dumb questions.
Dumb? That sounded like a Brit. Is that a Brit? You got Bob Barker than a Brit?
I think so.
Was it Lance doing another voice?
I like a good old-fashioned bounty gate. So he said, let's ask some dumb questions.
Yeah, so we have dumb questions. So we're going to do this. Guys? No holds bar. You go to an Astros press conference, you ask a stupid question. It's here.
I can't wait.
You can work for this station. You can work for another station. You could be retired. You ask a dumb questions, we're going to expose.
Was that a stray at McLean?
No, he didn't text me back.
That's messed up.
I was going to try to get him on today.
Talk a little Dre. Apparently he was in Dre's Andre Johnson's house whenever he got the knock.
That's cool.
Because he presented him, right?
Did he?
Yeah, because he talked about it. I heard him talking about it, saying that if Andre doesn't get in this year, then I would recommend to Andre that he get another presenter.
Oh, I do remember the presenter. That's right. That's when they argue in the room. Yeah, I do remember that. I thought you meant like he got presented the jacket or something. But yeah, I do remember that now that you mentioned it.
But it is the perfect week to do dumb questions because it's Super Bowl week, which means obviously we're going to have all the random media day stuff. So we have three questions for media week.
Do we have any locals today?
No locals today.
Oh, I cannot wait for the locals on this bit.
Because the ones that were there asked good questions because I like B. Scott. He asked good questions. So we have three dumb questions. One going to Purdy Reed and one to Kittle. We'll start with Andy Reed here and the dumb question that he got.
Coach, right here.
Yep.
Question from Germany. Yes. As you said before, times have changed a lot. The internet, mobile phones. What do you say about the conspiracies that have popped up concerning Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, like some kind of Republican conspiracies, that you guys made it into the Super Bowl to actually secretly re-elect or help re-elect President Biden?
That's way out of my league.
So he said Republican, like, oh, they were behind. The conspiracy
theory is that the NFL has rigged the Super Bowl so that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce can pledge their support for Joe Biden after the game.
What the hell?
That's a conspiracy.
How do they keep letting these people in?
I just love that it was a German reporter who asked the question.
What is the what's the top political office in Germany? Is it like president, prime minister?
Monarchy?
This says the chancellor. Is that right? Chancellor of Germany? Is this the top guy? It says Olaf Scholz is the chancellor of Germany. Would that be the highest? Would that be our president?
Sounds
is that
like
the
it.
Highest ranking politician in Germany? Is he the one making the decisions? Did Olaf Scholz plant this guy in Vegas to ask this to Andy Reid?
Possibly.
Yeah, that's a.
I'd like to know the media outlet that person was representing and why they got a credential.
Probably Germany Sports. Probably. I don't know.
It doesn't sound sports related.
That's so weird. The what exactly, like, if this conspiracy is true, what is the rigging doing?
It's helping elect Joe Biden over Trump or whoever wins the Republican
nominee.
I thought he said it was
for the Republicans.
It's the conspiracy is that it's the Republican conspiracy theory.
Oh,
that they'll support Biden after they win the Super Bowl.
I was about to say, because I know Kelce isn't on the side of the right, or the side of the right isn't on the side of Kelce, I should say. That's a bad question. I love how Andy Reid just wore it, though. He's like, huh?
That's who he is, though. Huh? I mean, that's why he's great.
What did he say at the end? He said, that one's above me or something like that. That's a great response.
There is a president of Germany.
Is there?
Frank-Walter Steinmeier.
I like schnitzel. I'm a big fan of schnitzel.
You and Lance both.
Is Lance a big schnitzel
guy? Yeah, we had a promo running for like 2 months about him.
You're right. Schnitzel. Olaf Scholz.
That's the head guy?
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know. All right, moving on. What's the next bad
one? All right, go to the next one here. We'll go to Brock Purdy. He got asked an interesting question about who he looks like.
Pictures of you and Lee Harvey Oswald circling around the internet right now. People think you two look alike. Did you ever hear that before?
I haven't. That's my first time hearing it. Yeah.
What do you think about that comparison? Physical comparison.
Comparison.
Yeah.
So if you didn't hear the question, someone asked him, what do you think about that people think you look like Lee Harvey Oswald?
Can I tell you what the greatest answer of all would have been? Well, I should hope so. I'm a natural born killer, and we're going to go out there and win this game.
It would have been a good answer.
Just imagine the reaction in the room if he just came back with that. Damn right, I'm a natural born killer. That's why we're here.
If he would have said that, I would never doubt his ability to process defenses. Because that's like quick.
That would have been solid.
That's being on it. If he said that, that's something. Being compared to somebody who assassinated the president.
Mm-hmm. And that started everybody comparing everybody's looks to someone that killed somebody. Raheel was on this morning, and they said he looked like Sirhan. With John and Lance.
They said that Sirhan was brainwashed by the government.
Is that right?
And that he was on mind control whenever he assassinated RFK. Huh. That's what they say. Hmm. You believe in mind control?
No.
You think Lee Harvey Oswald had mind control when he assassinated JFK? I've stayed in the hotel that JFK... Whenever we go to Fort Worth, we always stay in the hotel that JFK stayed in.
The night before?
The night that... Yeah, his last sleep. He stayed in Fort Worth. Before he got assassinated in Dallas.
Well, isn't it true the night before he stayed at the Rice Hotel?
I don't think so. I think you're talking about the Rice Hotel in Houston?
Yeah.
I
night before. So the night before he was in Houston at the Rice Hotel, then went to the hotel you're talking about.
So two nights before.
Yeah.
Oh,
two
okay.
nights before, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't. I think he stayed there a few times, though, right? Like, uh-huh. Didn't he stay there before he gave that big speech at Rice Stadium, too?
I think so.
Yeah, because that's like a big deal, that speech that he gave at Rice Stadium. But imagine being compared to somebody who assassinated the president of the United States.
Yeah, I don't want to be told I look like that guy.
That's insulting. But I love how the person who asked the question goes, physical appearance. Like,
I think John and Lance said Jeremy looked like someone that killed the president, too.
That was on Mean Text. They said it was the guy who tried, which is insulting.
Because he failed.
He failed. You call me a failure.
The guy that tried to kill Reagan?
John Hinckley Jr.?
Yeah, I think that's
him. Yeah, he compared me to a failure. But that's okay. John was just trying to John was motivating me. He was motivating me to bring the most out of me. Have you ever gone
to the observatory or whatever it was where they say that the shot was fired from?
Uh-uh.
I haven't either. It's been offered to us when we were staying in Dallas to play the Mavs, but I never went.
The grassy knoll?
Yep.
Yeah. You think there was a second shooter?
Yes.
I think it's possible.
What is the... I read a book one time. It was the report on this. I forget the name of the report, but I read a book about it one time. It's very, very interesting. And I listened to a podcast about Sirhan once, too. That was very, very interesting. All right, final one.
This one's not really a question. I mean, I guess it is. It's more of a begging that was kind of pathetic. But I figured with Joel and I here, it fit. Here's George Kittle at the podium on Monday night.
Also, I'm a Packers fan, so I have, please, a big request for you.
Yeah.
Please don't ever go to the Bears. Please don't ever join the Bears.
Whatever happens, man. I grew up a Bears fan, man.
Well, then he's absolutely out of his mind.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was going to be that loud.
Sheesh. What
kind of idiot grows up a Bears fan?
One that lives in Iowa.
Do you know who this was?
No. That's the thing about the Monday night stuff is they're not real reporters most of the time.
Well, they had the one.
No reporter would go up to an NFL player and be like, "I'm a Packers fan. Please don't go play for the Bears."
You shut your mouth.
Okay, let me rephrase. No reporter would go up and say, "I'm a Bears fan. Please don't go play for the Packers."
True.
They're not real reporters.
Well, but they do all this. Guillermo, I'm sure, was there from Kimmel. They had the one every year. They have the one little kid that steals the entire show.
Can we send Gilbert next year?
I think his name's Jeremiah.
This year, yeah,
that kid was good. He was. He was very good. The one that he was drafted in a team with Mahomes.
He was really, really very well spoken.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
Yeah, but you always get then you get the one female from Mexico that always based on looks alone everybody pays attention to that asks.
You seem to know quite a bit about her.
Not anymore, but there. Yeah, for several years it was.
I think you have a type.
No, for several years, there was the same reporter.
You got to catch what I said there,
Yeah.
Because your wife's maiden name, and then there you go. 6761, you're getting taken to task for asking if Germany has a monarchy.
Sorry.
I don't know anything about international politics.
I'll be the first to tell you that. Yeah. No clue. I'm not Paulie on these things.
I'm right. I have. Zero. My knowledge is domestic, and it's very, very shallow. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Dumb questions at pressers. I can't wait till we localize that. Dumb questions at pressers. There's been
several over the years.
That has a chance to be explosive.
Yep.
Nick Caserio was doing Radio Row yesterday. I think it was yesterday. He had an exclusive with the Houston Chronicle. Sometimes I read too much into things. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm terribly wrong. Did Nick Caserio tip his hand in free agency? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.